changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Today I want to talk with you about something that I am not a sports fan. I always say I had an absent father and a gay older brother. So thanks to my gay older brother, and I truly mean this, I love Broadway. I really do. And I really don't know much about sports. To me, sports are really a social activity. You go to the game so you can be with your family or some friends. So, however, back in, I want to say it was the 1990s. I think I'm almost positive it was. I really got caught up in an athlete's story, and I really followed this person, and I really became a really big, talk about word echoes. I became a big fan of this athlete, and I began to follow everything he did. The person I'm talking about is George Foreman. Now, before you just write me off as I'm talking about the guy in the George Foreman grill, listen to the story a bit more. You may already know it. I write about it in one of my books. I think it's Happy This Year. George Foreman was known for being an angry boxer. He was sort of the inspiration for Stallone when Stallone would, in the movie Rocky and the movies, when he would basically be getting pounded, and it was at that point he would come back with ferocity. George Foreman was just angry, and he was angry in interviews. He was not a nice guy. He had a beard. And he won. He lost the heavyweight championship. There was a lot of big events with him and Muhammad Ali, Rumble in the Jungle, etc. The thing is, after George Foreman got, he lost several times, he decided to follow a calling, and he felt that he had had a calling his entire life to be a minister, and he got ordained, and the great George Foreman, and I mean big burly George, became the minister of a small church, and he did that for a number of years. Now, what you may not know as well is that George Foreman has seven sons, I think, and every single one of them is also named George. I won't get into how confusing that must be. I do think it's kind of cute, though, and it's certainly idiosyncratic. So he has seven sons, and he's trying to raise them on whatever he's able to scrape together as his salary from donations from the church. And I can tell you, there were, I didn't take a salary more times in some churches than I ever did. And so he decides to get back into boxing because it's literally the only thing that ever made him any money. And he is struggling so bad financially. The interesting thing, though, is that during this time as the minister, during this time hearing other people's challenges and stories, George Foreman's heart broke open. He became a totally different person. When you think of George Foreman, you think of this big smiling guy. Go look at him back in the 60s and 70s. He was angry, but his heart broke open. He became a completely different person. There was one problem, though. George was 40, and nobody had ever had a boxing comeback at 40. Some boxers had tried to come back, and they always got pounded into butter. You don't pound butter. Anyway, pounded like meat. But George Foreman decided he was going to do it. And there are two aspects of this that make this story so applicable to all of our lives and to you especially. Sometimes we have to withdraw so that we can become more inside, so that we can take that time to season, so that our hearts can open up, so that we can become more aware and more appreciative of the challenges other people are going through. And then we look at what is ours, what we can contribute, what we can do. And here's the cool thing that I love about George Foreman. And when he came back, and he actually did come back, and he won the heavyweight championship of the world. Not the first bout, but he did. But he was 40 years old and he was fat. And he hadn't trained in a very, very long time. And he knew he had to lose weight and he knew he had to build up his stamina. And so he began to run 10 miles a day. Now, the thing was, George knew that he could not get himself to run 10 miles a day because it had been so many years since he had run 10 miles a day. So what he did was put on his running stuff, got in the car, and his wife drove him 10 miles out of town. And then she dropped him off and started a clock to see how fast he could get back. And his goal was to beat that time every single day. Wherever you are, you can find a way to get yourself to do whatever it is you need to do if you know clearly where it is you're going. Think of that idea of having your wife drop you off 10 miles out of town and time you to see how fast you get home. Simply because you know you can't push yourself to run 5 miles somewhere and 5 miles back. But he found the way. I find that so inspiring. And the second thing, and this is probably the most inspiring thing I found out about George Foreman. If you go back and you watch the previous years when he was fighting the big boxers decades before he made his comeback in his 40, when he was 40, George Foreman fought like every other boxer. He would fight his heart out for, I think it's 2.5 minutes or 2 minutes. See, I'm not a big sports fan. And then they would put the stool in the ring and he would sit down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he'd swish his mouth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he would stand up and he would fight. Now, when George Foreman came back, he did something different. All those things that I just described happened, except this time he wouldn't let a stool in the ring. George wouldn't sit down because George knew that if he sat down, he might not get up again. This was unheard of in boxing. And he attributes it to the reason that he ultimately went on and succeeded. Wherever you are, if you feel like life has pounded you, don't sit down. That's when you get in trouble. Stand up, walk around, exercise. There's one other little interesting note I want to make about this point, and that is that about this story. And as I do that, it's time for you to share. Everyone click share. Who's going to be the first one to share this message and type the word share? Yesterday, I think it was Paula or maybe Jerome. My apologies if it wasn't. Speaking of comebacks, George Foreman was 40 when he made this comeback. When Sylvester Stallone filmed the movie Rocky Balboa, I know I'm talking about boxing a lot lately. But when Stallone filmed the movie Rocky Balboa, which I consider to be the best one, and in that movie, they made a decision to not, if you look at that movie compared to, say, Rocky, the first one, they are actually hitting each other. They're not holding back. They decided to hit each other hard. And you know how old Stallone was? Now think about this. Foreman had to get in great shape. Stallone is in much better shape than George Foreman, all right? He was 60. He was 20 years older. So no matter where you are, don't give me the I'm too old excuse. Because that's what it is. Let's see what you all have to say. Wow, lots and lots and lots and lots of comments. I feel so excited to share this with you. I just wanted to say thank you. I just finished a very powerful meditation and probably see my eyes are red. I was doing some crying, some healing. Yeah, Christelle says people are doing, I got it, without gold these days. Got it, I see, says Christelle. And Susan says, grateful that my knee pain is finally gone. I amen to that. Isn't that a great feeling? I'm grateful for dancing for happiness. That's cool. Tell us more about that, Karen. Jerome, my buddy, first one to do it, to share Susan's number. Second one. Oh, y'all, excuse me. Michelle, bless you. She says she's grateful for me. Thank you so much. Holly Thompson Sharp says shared. Awesome. That's three. Who else is going to share? Michelle Bland, four. Thank you so much. Mima, thank you. Bless you all. It sounded like I was opening a beer, didn't it? Okay, jump starts over. That's what the people here in the Keys. It is not atypical. I brought Teddy in this morning. And when people are down here to go fishing, which is the second, well, number one thing people come here for. Second thing would be diving. Anyway, it's not unusual to see people at 7 o'clock in the morning walking down towards the marina with a beer in their hand. Just a different world. And of course, there's no COVID in the Keys. There's no COVID in the Keys, because if there were, people would be wearing masks. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah, that's a... Alcohol sales have skyrocketed from what I hear during COVID. I'm excited to be talking. Let's see if I know exactly what I... Oh, yes. Tomorrow we're going to talk about complaining indicators. Here's the thing about it. Those of us who really are even into the complaint-free movement and everything like that and work to try and not complain, there are some subtle indicators that we can watch for. And if we watch for the indicators generically, we don't have to worry about the individual complaints. I put my radio in the kitchen and disco dance for an hour. Karen, rock and roll, awesome. So lucky you don't have COVID there. I know, isn't it awesome? Actually, from my perspective, we do have COVID. They're getting ready to throw a big party here for someone, and I really want to go. But the people here just don't believe in wearing masks, and so they're going to have this big party, and I shan't attend. Bless you all. Make it a great day. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow about complaining indicators. It's never too late. Oh, and by the way, thank you to those of you who watch this on replay and then turn around and click share. Because like I said, we usually get 157 people who pop in and out here, 100 to 200, but we get thousands who watch on replay. And it's thanks to you in clicking share. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
Changing, we're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.